Blog Talk Radio.
Riding down the
because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Esther Goodman this morning. The Holy Hills of Heaven Calls Me is the name of that one. And we're moving right along this morning. I wanted to read this scripture because we want to hopefully get a chance to talk about the Lord is my light and my salvation. So we want to talk a little bit about that today, but I wanted to read this and then we will go to our first testimony of the day. I have several I would like to share. So this says in Psalms 27, a psalm of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." I read from chapter 1 down through verse 1 through verse 5 of Psalms chapter 27. And so that's our topic today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. So we're moving right along this morning because, like I said, I have several testimonies I would like to share. And I think one is like over an hour. So I wanted to get started, and then we have some time for the studio and time to come back, and maybe someone else has something they would like to share on this. But the first testimony this morning I'm going to share is boy forgives mom for raising him as a girl. Listen to this. He was 22 months old when this happened to him. And all kind of weird stuff the doctor decided to do. And then he solicit parents who would allow him, and he found a parent who would do it. So listen to this, and we want to pray for our youth of today that they're not caught up into this trend and allow stuff to be done to them, and years later they regret it. One guy said he had so many surgeries, and all he said he wished it was something he never did. He didn't know it would be all of that. So we want to listen to this first one, and then we'll go to the second one.
Not a question of the day on this Monday, actually just a request. I rarely do this. In fact, I've never done this in the almost 200 episodes of this podcast. My request is that if you watch this content and you listen to this monologue, that you take the effort to share it, because I think what we are about to cover is so important that every single person in the world, especially people that are raising children, need to see it. They need to understand this. And we are going to be discussing Dr. John Money, which is a name that I want every single person in the world to know. And if you've seen What is a Woman, you probably already know that name, but you are still going to shudder at details regarding who and what this man has contributed to society. Plus, later on in the show, we're here, we're queer, and we are coming for your children. That's not a quote from me. That is a quote that people were using as they marched in the streets to celebrate Pride. So let's talk about that. Let's lean into some of these Pride celebrations that are happening all around the country. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. It's a shame that Oprah is no longer on TV. She did cover a lot of heavy-hitting topics, namely this one going back to the year 2000, which was entitled, "Why the Boy Who Was Raised as a Girl Forgave His Mother." Very interesting topic. Take a listen to that boy who was raised as a girl forgiving his mother and speaking to Oprah about that experience of having been raised as a girl.
I never quite fit in. Well, the girls would do their things with their Barbies and things like that, and that wouldn't interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And things such as trucks and building forts and, getting to the odd fist fight and climbing trees, that's the kind of stuff that I like, but it was unacceptable, so I'd never...
As a girl.
As a girl, I had no place to fit in.
So that's David Reimer, and you should know that just four short years after that interview took place, David Reimer would be dead. because on May 4, 2004, he drove to a supermarket car park and while he was sitting in his car decided to pull out a shotgun and kill himself at the age of 38 because he had lived a life that was so full of pain and anguish. Now, I'm going to read you a ton of excerpts from this article that I have been seized by. I knew a lot of this information, not as far as the detail went. This article was written, by the way, by Tom Leonard for the Daily Mail, in which he explored that life of David Reimer because, well, David Reimer ended his life because he was experimented on by a man named Dr. John Money. And Dr. John Money is the spiritual father of the trans movement. Now, let me just say right off of the bat, I don't care where your politics are. I don't care if you're left-leaning or right-leaning. If you accept that people can change their genders or you believe that that is not a plausibility, this is just a historical document. We are talking about what actually happened. And it's important for you to know that, so that you can be a better informed person dealing with a lot of these political subjects that we are submersed in today. So the story of David Reimer actually begins in 1965 when he was born as an identical twin. Then his name was Bruce, by the way. Brian and Bruce were born to a working class Canadian couple. He was a twin born to Janet and Ron Reimer in Winnipeg, Canada. The boys were perfectly healthy, but after 7 months, they were having trouble urinating. On medical advice, their parents took them to the hospital to be circumcised. The following morning, the doctors rang with horrifying news. Instead of using a scalpel, an electric cauterizing pen had been used for the procedure, and in Bruce's case, the equipment had drastically malfunctioned. A surge in the current had entirely burnt off his penis, and surgeons would not be able to reconstruct it. This is just a horrible situation of a child being mutilated because his parents took him in for a circumcision. Mr. and Mrs. Reimer were young parents from a religious background, and they were bluntly informed by a psychiatrist that their son would be unable to consummate marriage or have normal heterosexual relations, and that he would have to recognize, that they would have to recognize that he would be essentially physically defective. Naturally, they were distraught, but then a year later, in the spring of 1967, they saw a man named John Money, Dr. John Money, being interviewed on television. Enter this native New Zealander doctor who was trailblazing at the time, working at Baltimore's Johns Hopkins University, one of America's obviously most celebrated medical schools, where he had established the first United States clinic that performed sex reassignment surgeries, the first United States clinic. Janet and Ron watched him in fascination. He was charismatic. He was acclaimed, he was a researcher, and he described his theory that based on his work with intersex hermaphrodite patients who have been born with both male and female sex characteristics, he had decided that all babies were in fact gender neutral. This is where we're hearing this term. He decided that no matter their genitalia, any baby could be streamed in one direction or the other thanks to hormone injections and surgery into a gender that was chosen by others. Now, the Reimers, of course, were desperate at this time. They wanted to ensure that their mutilated son would have some chance at a normal life, and they saw this as a possible solution. Okay, so we can just maybe say he's not even our son. We can streamline him into the other direction. And they also provided for Dr. John Money a solution to his problem because, you see, up until that point, he hadn't been able to conduct his experiments on children of just one sex, of course. The children that he was seeing were intersex children. So where was he going to find a test case baby who can demonstrate, who could demonstrate that his radical theory actually applied to all children, children that were not intersex? No parent, of course, would have voluntarily submitted their children to be raised as the opposite sex just to prove his point. But in the Reimers, yeah, he found a couple that was willing. They were attracted to the psychologist because Bruce's identical twin brother, Brian, represented what researchers would call a perfect control group, obviously. They're twins against whom Dr. John Money could compare Bruce's progress as a female. So they picked one twin and decided, okay, this is going to be your life. Now, at that time, it was much easier to surgically construct a vagina than a penis, and Dr. Money was able to persuade the Reimers that Bruce should be raised as a female. But for the experiment to work, he said, neither of the twins must ever be told the truth. Now, could you imagine that? You as your parents, you know that you have given birth to two males, but you decide since you've accidentally mutilated one of them, that one of them is just going to be raised as a female, and you're just not going to tell anybody. Least of all, you are not going to tell them. So although they were initially reluctant to do this, Janet and Ron were so impressed by his intelligence and his persuasive powers that eventually they simply agreed. Bruce now became Brenda. They renamed him, and he was then castrated when she was 22 months old. A rudimentary vulva was fashioned for her by doctors at Dr. John Money's hospital. The sexologist prescribed that Brenda should start taking female hormones when she was 12. Now, the Reimers did not appreciate until later that the course that Dr. Money had so confidently outlined for Brenda was actually experimental, had never been attempted on a developmentally normal, that is, non-intersex child before. So they were a bit unwitting, I guess is the best way to say it. Janet said, I looked up to him like a god. She was in her teens, by the way, when she gave birth, and she simply accepted whatever John Money said. She would regularly write to the sexologist about Brenda's progress, and every year, the twins would visit him, Dr. John Money, and he would interrogate them at length. In 1972, when the children were seven, Dr. John Money published a book called Man and Woman, Boy and Girl, and it was about that particular case, although he gave the family pseudonyms. The experiment, he announced, had been a total success. The girl happily wore dresses and played with dolls while her brother loved cars, soldiers, and climbing trees. So would you imagine that? So you have someone who's a renowned doctor, he's doing something as an experiment, and now he's publishing works and saying, this is a success. And now you have other people that are coming up in medical school, they're consuming this knowledge and they're going, okay, amazing. We never even considered this, that you could just set somebody on a course in a different direction despite the biological assignment that they were given at birth, that they were born as a male with male parts. Now Dr. Darmani is disproving this theory. He had finally won international acclaim, which he had so long craved. Around the world, the idea of sex reassignment surgery for children suddenly became more acceptable. But Money always knew that the rosy picture that he had painted was far from accurate. As Brenda would later admit in interviews, both she and her brother knew early on that something was not right. Far from enjoying wearing them, Brenda tore off the lacy dresses that her mother made her wear and showed no interest in makeup. At age four, Brenda said that she wanted to try out her father's razor. At age six, Brenda announced that she wanted to be a refuse collector. Brenda hated playing with dolls and always chose her brother's toys instead. Her mother reassured her that she was just a tomboy. At school, Brenda never fit in. She was rejected by both the girls that she didn't want to play with and the boys that she desperately wanted to join. Brenda was bullied mercilessly, and even the teachers were uncomfortable around her. She was very rebellious. She was very masculine, and I could not persuade her to do anything feminine, said her mother, Janet, years later. Brenda had almost no friends growing up. Everybody really ridiculed her, called her cavewoman. She was a very lonely, lonely girl. But Brenda and her brother Brian particularly loathed were their annual trips to go see Dr. John Money for interviews that were conducted without the parents present. From the age of six, the doctor would show them naked pictures of men and women, boys and girls, and of adults having sex. Screaming at them in fury until they obeyed, he would force them to strip off their own clothes and examine each other's genitals. These are twins, identical twins, and this is what Dr. John Money is making them do. Most twisted of all, he often asked them to play at thrusting movements and copulation, with the prepubescent siblings forced to pretend to have sex in various positions in front of Dr. John Money. These encounters would be photographed, and sometimes Dr. John Money would summon his academic colleagues to watch. Money was no impartial researcher. Having rebelled against his own repressive religious upbringing, he was a bisexual who championed nudity, open marriage, group sex, and hardcore pornography. He also had deeply unsettling views on children and sex. In 1980, he was accused of endorsing pedophilia and incest after he told Time magazine, quote, a childhood sexual experience, such as being the partner of a relative or an older person, need not necessarily affect the child adversely. And yet this man was in Time magazine. He was allowed to work at Johns Hopkins University. He had these views of children, and now he is making six-year-olds, one of which he has encouraged to change their private parts, copulate, and play at thrusting movements, pretending to have sex in various positions in front of him. These are historical facts. This is not being made up by me. It goes on to read that he reportedly told a Dutch academic journal that he did not see any problem with a sexual relationship between a boy aged 10 or 12 who's intensely attracted toward a man in his 20s or 30s. Brenda told the BBC in 2000, "I thought he was perverted. I thought he was a sick man." As Brenda grew older, she increasingly felt herself to be a male. She adamantly refused to have more extensive surgery to construct a new vagina, a procedure that money regarded as essential to cementing his patient's psychological sex change. On the last occasion that Brenda was dragged to see Dr. John Money in her early teens, she ran to the roof of the building to get away from him. Although her parents and doctors had persuaded her to start taking the hormone estrogen when she was 12, leading her to develop breasts, and even as her voice became deeper, she threatened to commit suicide if they ever took her back to see Dr. John Money. By now, both girls and boys at school were refusing to let Brenda use their bathrooms, forcing her to relieve herself in the back alley. The Reimer family and other doctors who had supported Dr. Money's plan could see that Brenda's talk of suicide was serious, and so they backed off. In 1979, when Brenda was 14, she had made the decision to stop living as a girl. The following year, the twins' father took Brenda out for an ice cream and dropped the bombshell. Father told Brenda that she had actually been born a boy named Bruce, had suffered a botched circumcision, and had been raised as a girl on the advice of Dr. John Money. Brenda, he said, had always been a fiction. Within months, Brenda then changed his name to David, the David that we just showed you in that Oprah clip. He started taking male hormones and had his breasts surgically removed. He finally made a close friend, one of his brother's pals, Harold Normand. This week, Harold Normand told the Mail that he and David shared a passion for tinkering with cars. Mr. Normand also revealed that when asked, the Reimers would gloss over why Brenda had suddenly disappeared at age 14 and David had suddenly appeared in Brenda's place, unconvincingly claiming that Brenda had actually been a cousin who had died in a car accident while Dave was a long-lost brother. Yet while the teenage David was far happier as a male, Mr. Normand told the Mail that he soon had to confront the limitations of his situation. Although he underwent the painful surgery to create a penis, it was hardly a prosperous substitute. David tried to have girlfriends, said Mr. Normand, but it didn't work out. He told one of them that he had had an accident with his genitalia, and suddenly the whole school knew and was laughing at him. Days later, after he had overdosed on antidepressants, his parents momentarily wondered whether it might not be kinder to just let him die. As David grew older, he desperately wanted to have children, but having been castrated as an infant on Dr. John Money's advice, he was physically unable to. Then his brother's wife introduced him to a friend, Jane Fontaine, who already had three children but no partner. David and Jane hit it off immediately, and they married in 1990. I would have to say that he was a great father and, you know, a wonderful husband. He was very romantic, said Jane, who has since died. It took David years to discover all the lies that Money had told the scientific world about him, falsely presenting him as a successful case when, in fact, his life had been ruined by the doctor. David said that he wanted to physically attack Money if they ever met. In 1997, to spare other children similar treatment, he and Brian revealed the truth about Money's reprehensible behavior to one of the doctor's bitter academic opponents, Milton Diamond, who had become suspicious about Money's account of success. As David headed into his 30s, a series of personal setbacks, including losing his job, being defrauded of his savings, and separating from his wife, plunged him into severe depression. His relationship with his brother had always been difficult, but deteriorated completely after they discovered that they were really brothers. Brian had also been deeply upset by the deception, and Brian himself died from a drug overdose in 2002. Mr. Normand told the Mail that David's parents, both of whom have also since died, held a small funeral and buried Brian in a secret place because they were worried about disruption from callous local people who had never understood David's appalling situation and thought that he was better off dead. 2 years later, David shot himself. His parents blamed Dr. Money for traumatizing their child and turning him suicidal. They were also guilt-ridden, and Mrs. Reimer herself attempted suicide while her husband became an alcoholic. David never blamed his parents, nor did he ever forgive the two experts who ruined his life, the doctor who originally botched the circumcision and Dr. John Money, who died in 2006. The scars that he had from those two mentally affected him, said Mr. Normand. He'd get depressed about it. In 2004, the BBC Horizon program called this case a cautionary tale about what can happen when science pursues a beautiful theory with scant regard for human costs. It's a conclusion that has even greater resonance today. Again, that is an article that was written by Dr. Tom Lennon, and it's mind-boggling to me. It's scary to read something like this, because this is the man that is considered the spiritual father of the trans movement. All of the phrases that we hear today are because of his lasting influence on the movement. It was him who initially theorized that this could happen, that you could take a child and you could push them into a different direction. It was him who falsely wrote that his experiment on one such child was successful, and the truth is that it wasn't. I think it is incredibly important that every single person in the world understands who Dr. John Money is, since this is now become a very severe cultural debate and one that we are all victims to if we are raising our children in society. I have young children. We know what is going on in the school systems, and we know what is taking place. And so it became so important for me to just read you that story. It's been covered in What is a Woman? But not every person in the world has seen What is a Woman. And I think it is incumbent upon all of us, whether you have a platform or not, if you have a phone, a smartphone, and you can share this, you should share it. People need to know this man, because it appears that those who purport to support the trans movement don't want to talk about him. He was, in fact, a pedophile. He was a person that at least supported pedophilia and watched six-year-olds emulating sex in front of him. These, again, are the facts, and it would be very disturbing to me if YouTube had an issue with us diving into actual, real history. And that's all I'm going to say about that. As central banks in countries like China, India, and Australia begin transitioning to digital currency, the Federal Reserve has been contemplating the same for the United States. With a digital currency, the government could track every single purchase that you make. Officials could even prohibit you from purchasing certain products and easily freeze or seize part or all of your money. Times like these are a great reminder to diversify a portion of your savings into gold, and you can do that with the help of Birch Gold. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA that's backed in gold. You don't pay a penny out of pocket. When currencies fail, gold is a safe haven. How much more time does a dollar have? Protect your savings with gold. Birch Gold has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of happy customers, so text Candace to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. If a central bank digital currency becomes a reality, it will be nice to have some gold to depend on. Again, text Candace to 989898. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. The Pride celebrations took place all across the nation this past weekend. I'm sure you saw some of the clips, and I just want to reveal them to you because obviously YouTube put me in timeout for an entire week. They wanted me to reconsider my positions on Pride, and I really now just want to platform it and allow people to hear what the community is thinking and saying. So let's first take a look at what went on at the New York City Pride Parade. Take a listen. There we go. We have it. We are here, we are queer, and we are coming for your children. Now, if I had said that, I would have had my account hit with a strike. But I guess if they say it, it's freedom and it's pride and it's them expressing how they personally feel. So we will leave it at that, absent any commentary. Now, let's jump into what's going on in Seattle. I love Seattle. What are they doing at the Pride Parade? Let's take a look. Oh, oh my God. No, no, these men are fully naked. No, they're fully naked. Fully naked on bicycles, waving, and there are children in the crowd. What is going on? They're fully naked. Is this allowed? Okay. All right. I guess it's about freedom, and it's about love being love. And if you are in love, most people want to get completely ass naked on a bicycle and ride around in front of children and families. I actually wanted to examine what Washington law was on that, because that's definitely not legal everywhere. According to the Washington state legislator, indecent exposure, a person is guilty of indecent exposure if he or she intentionally makes any open and obscene exposure of his or her person or the person of another, knowing that such conduct is likely to cause reasonable affront or alarm. The act of breastfeeding or expressing milk is not indecent exposure. Okay, so would that count as decent exposure? No. I'm going to guess in Seattle, that is considered perhaps decent exposure because it's about love. So if men...
Okay. I know we heard it. And this guy, they're calling him Dr. Money, started all the foolishness because of what he wanted to do, really. And pedophiles, they find a way to get to children. Some go through the school system, teachers, gym teachers, whatever, medical professions, doctors, pediatric doctors. Yeah, they go to school for it so that they can be around children, touch children, and all kinds of stuff. The school system don't have to tell parents what they're doing to their children. And it's a trend. For me, it came out to be a trend. And in schools, they have a thing they called peer pressure. So what everybody's doing, most children in school want to do it too. If sneakers are the big thing trending, that's what they want. Games, cars, you know, I drive to school. You don't, in high school, you don't drive. All kinds of things that children are attracted to that's trending. Yeah, if it's trendy, they want to be a part. This is why we train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. And some children grasp God at an early age, and they stay with him. But a lot with children today, parents have no say-so. Parents have no control. The state, the government have control. This is why we train our children, again, in the way that they should go. Go to God. Live for God. Let God live in you. The scripture says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We don't have to fear to speak out. But many times we're afraid because we'll be attacked. You heard them say that they're queer and they're coming for your children. Why? Why would the government allow this for children, innocent babies? They are taught behavior. They are taught how to behave. I knew a lady, as long as her child was doing bad things, and she felt it didn't embarrass her or, you know, shine the light on her, she had nothing to say about what the child was doing. But the minute that the child did something to embarrass her, she would beat this child. I'm talking about beating. I'm not talking about a spanking or, you know, a slap on the hand. No, she would beat this child. And the child grew on up a little bit, became a teenager, and just started acting all kind of crazy ways. And the child had did something and she got after her. And this particular day, the child was so afraid she was going to beat her half to death. She ran. Yeah, she ran. So we don't have to be afraid to train our children. And training don't always mean beating them. No. We can spank a child, punish a child, take that game away. Take that phone away. And I'm not talking about taking it away for some hours. I'm talking about taking it away for weeks. You make them stay home. They can't go out and do what they used to do because they're on punishment. And every day you talk to them and explain again why they're being punished. and why what they did was wrong. And we're not living in our house a life of wrong. We're living a life of right. What is right is what we decide to do. It may go against everybody else's ways and the things that they're doing, but we're going to stick to what we're doing because it pleases God. So you don't have to fear because he's your light and your salvation. You don't have to fear. The Lord is the strength of your life. In whom should you be afraid? You don't have to. When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. That's Psalms 27 and 2. If we look at Psalms 23, he said, he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So we don't have to fear. We fear when we are not in line with God, when we're losing faith, when we begin to doubt. Hope is faded away. We begin to fear. The scripture said God has given us, he haven't given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us, the believers, the saints of God, the people of God, Christians. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And when we practice watching what we say, we don't speak negative things. We speak what's positive. We speak what's godly. Speak it by faith. Verse 3 says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Yeah. I'm going to be sure in this because God is my light and my salvation. Almighty God that have all power is on my side. He's for me. And if he be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. But we don't focus there. We don't think there. We don't believe there like we're supposed to believe there. If it's something that we really, really want or something that's really, really happening to us, then we try to go there. But we want to walk in these things, power, love, and a sound mind before any of this stuff take place. Verse 4 of Psalms 27 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. When I go to church, I'm going seeking God. When I'm home, I'm seeking God. And I'm seeking him in the house that I prayed that he would send me to fellowship, to praise and worship him, and to be taught the truth. And I want to be there, my desires that I dwell there all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to go to the house of the Lord and pray. Sometimes we don't have a house, the house of prayer, so we use our own house. We pray at home. We seek God daily at home. We read his word, study his word, and pray at home. And see, he's no respecter of place. Wherever you are, you can reach out to him. I'm so glad we don't have to go and kneel down before a statue. We don't have to go and sit in a box and talk to nobody but God. He made it that way for us. He gave us the mediator, which is his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's the one that take our prayers to the Father. Yeah. Verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He will lift us above any trouble, anything that's coming our way. Because it's him that fight our battles. We're not fighting a natural battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. I can look at these things that's going on, Pride Parade, and the things that these people do and how they go to the schools and what they're teaching the children, I can see all the demonic action. I don't see natural, I see demonic. Because that's not the way of Almighty God. Suffer the children to come unto me is what he said. And forbid them not, but such is the kingdom of heaven. We got to be careful with children. We have to be careful what we say and what we do around them. They told me between the ages of birth and 6 years old, they're like sponges. They absorb everything. So our job as parents, we're to train these children in the way that they should go. We don't worry about what they're going to do in their older years. Our training is most important. And if they're trained well, it'll come back. In their old age, they won't depart from it. This is why I'm here today talking of his wondrous works. Because my parents trained me in the way I should go. But when I got of age, I chose the way I wanted to go. Yeah. And many times my life would reflect back to my parents, the way that my children behaved. Somebody knew I had been trained. Yeah, I wasn't just brought up, but they trained me. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. If adults are scolding you, you don't say anything. You listen for the scolding, and you walk away when they're done. You don't have to say anything. Just walk away. You don't give word for word. You don't talk back. You don't say, yeah, no. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. And in the presence of adults, that was a way for you to carry yourself. You were silent. Because your mom taught you it's better to be seen in a way and not heard. Because the things you say out of your mouth as a child, you're not responsible because a child don't have no filters. A child tell the truth unless they've been taught to lie. If they feel like something is ugly, that's what they will say. Oh, that's ugly. They never considered a person feel because children don't think like that. Oh, your breath smells. Oh, you smell it. Because they have no filters. You have to train them, teach them. Yeah. About having class, about carrying yourself in a good way. And you don't just say any and every old thing, even to another child. Verse 7 says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. I'm going through, Lord. They taking my children. I'm teaching my children one thing. They're teaching my children another. And Lord, I need a school where I can put my child and they will train my child about your ways. They won't encourage my child to become who they are not. I birthed a daughter, and this school is trying to allow my daughter to become a son. And Father, you didn't give me a son. You chose the sex of my child. You decided what my child was going to be, boy or girl. And now these people trying to come in and change that. I need your help, Lord Jesus. I don't want to fight with these people. I want to say what I have to say and be done concerning my child. Whatever way they decide to do things for themselves and their children, that's fine with me. I don't come against that. I don't have nothing to do with whatever they want to do, however they want to do it, it's fine with me. But when it comes to my child, the one that you've given me the responsibility to train up in the way that he or she should go, I want to be careful and obey your word. Because there's also folly in the heart of a child. A child know no better. You following trends and don't really even know why you're following trends other than to be accepted. And who are you being accepted about? Evil people. Evil children. Children that are not being trained up in the way that they should go to God and live for God. So you want to be like these children? No. I want you to be like you. I want you to be yourself. And yourself been trained to love God. You've been trained to obey God. You've been trained to fear God and depart from evil. But parents don't take the time anymore. They allow the school to teach their children, to train their children. They allow the world to teach and train their children. They come in from work tired, just let the TV do the work. And what is on TV today is no good. It's not a good place for your child to be entertained. Not regular television today. No kind of television. Today, if I was raising children, I would choose the type movies they watch. Games would not be a part of their life. And I would seek other parents who was teaching their children the same way. You want to play, go outside. And we'll sit outside drinking lemonade, talking and watching you while you play. Because you can't just turn your children loose anymore. You let nobody take your children to the bathroom when you're in the public. Daddy, mama, uncle, cousin, nobody takes your child to the restroom. Only you. Because today, you don't know who is into pedophilia. You don't know who will touch your child. Who will molest your child. You don't know that. So you, the parent, be responsible. That's why you should have, it should be a husband and a wife training children. Because when I can't be there, my husband is there. When my husband can't be there, then I'm there. And we're seeking God every step of the way. Oh, Lord, hear, oh, Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8 says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. It take all of this to be saved. Not only are the children at stake, but the parents too. Because if you spank your child, or if you say something to your child, or if you take your child somewhere, they can lock you up for it. So, Father God, we ask that you would cover us and our children in the blood, our grandchildren. Cover them in the blood of Jesus, our great-grandchildren. Great-great-grandchildren, any children in our families, Lord, we ask that you would cover them in the blood of Jesus. When the enemy comes, it won't see them, but it'll see your blood in Jesus' name. When I tell you it's important to pray over your children today, even your adult children, because you love them. I love mine. And I want nothing happening to them. So you cover them. You pray for them. Sometimes it's what they do that destroy them. Because they're giving place to the devil and don't realize how much. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Many parents uphold their children in their wrongdoing. Even though they can be married and don't want the husband to check silent. Because men don't play games. Men see he done wrong. They don't have no soft spot. Come here. I have something for you. Give me the bike. Give me your phone. And you won't be able to come outside for a while. Moms, they, oh, don't do that to him. He didn't mean no harm. He didn't know. Well, just take his bike. Don't take his phone and put him in the house on punishment. Do you know men have left their wives for that foolishness? Because they couldn't stand to be there and see how she was destroying their children, especially black women and black sons. I wasn't that kind of mother. I had to train mine for the world. They were black boys going to become black men who had to live in a prejudiced world. Also live in a world, no matter what the nationality is, nobody loved you like I did. I carried you 9 months and birthed you in the world. I changed your diapers. I heated and fed you your formula, your milk. I fed and fed you baby food, as we call it, when it was time for you to eat real food. I sent you to school. I dressed you. I bought you clothes. I went to the school to make sure everything was right with you. So these other people, they don't love you like I do. But many times, we done train them in the way that they should go, and they think other people love them. But soon to find out that they don't, it's too late. You've already wallowed around in the den of evil with them. And they've done some things that will affect you for the rest of your life. I'm talking about adults. Women go out with men, and men capture them, and then the man is smoking crack, and he introduced the woman, your adult daughter, to crack. Women introduce your adult son to crack, to meth, to whatever, and they began to do it because they wallowed around in the den of evil. That's not what you trained them. That's not what you taught them. They become great liars. Sometimes men get with other men that's evil, and evil men train good men how to be against good women. So they end up with women that are not good and treat them like dogs. Because somebody told them women are evil and this is what they do to men, which is not true. You have to pick and choose. You have to seek God to get what's good. Because that which is good comes from God. He give good gifts. That which is evil comes from the devil. And you must know the difference between the two. Verse 9 says, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You saved me, Lord. It was you who sanctified me. It was you who filled me with your spirit. Don't hide your face from me. Don't put your servant away in anger. Because what they're doing to my children at the school, God, is making me angry. And your word said I could be angry, but sin not. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. This is why I'm coming to you, Lord, because I need you to work this out for me. I'm angry to make me feel like I want to take vengeance, but your word said not to. I'm not going to do it. But God, I need your help today. Don't leave me now. Verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. See, the one that they turned into a girl at 22 months old, when he grew up, he didn't know this. He didn't know to come here. He didn't know to seek God with his whole heart. Because his mother and his father had forsaken him. And he didn't know that the Lord would take him up. He didn't know that the Lord would become a mother and a father to him. So he went through, tried to kill himself. Because he was suffering in his mind, suffering in his body. And he finally got married to a woman, they say her name was Jane. Jane had children. He wanted children, but they mutilated him, you know, at an early age, at his birth and things, so he couldn't have children. And for a period of time, he thought he was a girl. But what girls did not interest him, playing with Barbie dolls and nail polish and hair. He wasn't into that. But Tonka trucks, climbing trees and all these kind of things interest him. Yeah. Verse 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And how many know sometimes the enemies are not human beings? It's not your neighbor. It's not your coworker. It's not a brother or sister at the church. It's not a member of your family. Enemies are evil. Enemies are demons. Anything that's against God is your enemy. Crack, marijuana, alcohol, lust, fornication, adultery, all these things that people do, these are your enemies. Lies, cheating, stealing, all of these things are your enemies. Teach me that way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because mine enemies. Verse 12 says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Yeah, and I can't be a human being. But many times it's evil spirits. And they use people. And somebody say, hey, man, you ain't having a drink. You don't want no drink because that's not your thing. But they just keep on and keep on. Then they went and lied on you. That wasn't good enough. Then they planted false stuff so other people could find it. In that book, The Broken Box, the man planted something, a lie. Planted something in the father's lunch bucket. And on the way out, when they searched him, they found it in his lunch bucket. But he had nothing to do with it. Evil try to get you any way that they can, any way that it can. It have no boundaries. It have no sex, man, woman, boy, girl. It don't care. It don't have no age limit, newborn to 500. It don't have no age limit. It don't have nothing about where you live, what job you work on, how much money you got in the bank, what school you went to, your degree that you graduated, or degrees that you graduated. It evil don't have nothing for any of that. It gets in where it fits in. Many times on the job, the boss have more degrees than you have. Evil will use that boss with all those degrees who's supposed to be educated. Evil will use your baby. It have no boundaries. Evil will use the teacher, the educator against you. Evil will use your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter against you. Evil will use your mother against you, your grandmother. And there's not many grandmothers who's against their grandchildren, but evil will use it. Yeah. Lead me in a plain path. Because see, not many in that plain path. Men are on that wide road that leads to destruction, and it's crowded and all kind of stuff going on over there. There's no peace, no joy. That's the world. And the world keeps something going and allow evil to control and to rule and to reign. But you want to be on that plain path. And you want to be delivered over the will of your enemies. Men are on that wide road, they beckoning, come on, come on. We're going to have a good time tonight. Let's club, let's this, let's that. I seen a documentary about these three young men. They was good friends and they went to prison. They was at a party. And at the party, they started drinking and drugging, and then they wanted to go outside and drive. They wanted to go for a joyride. Went out there, and once they got out there, they was walking. They didn't own a car. They saw two vehicles, and one said, oh, let's see what's in it. When he opened it up, he said, the key's in mine. The other one went to the car next door and opened, the key's in mine. They took off in these people vehicles from a repair shop. Car repair, truck repair, you know. Headed down the street, and then they had some accidents. It was going so fast. Tore up the cars. Tried to run. Police got them. And they ended up in prison. Well, once they got to prison, they broke out. Broke out the prison. But I just wanted to show you how you start off on a path of not doing no wrong. But evil will send a partner that will influence you, encourage you. This is why we are very careful who our children associate with. When my children had guests, I had to be present. When they had guests, I wanted to hear the conversations, especially my daughters. What are y'all talking about? So I taught them at an early age to have tea parties. And they can invite their school friends, you know, neighborhood friends, and they could come over if I knew their parents. And they would have a tea party. Cut up fruit, cookies, cut up sandwiches, and they sit there and they laugh and they talk and I'm listening. They had no clue I was listening now. But I wanted to hear what was going on. Because beside the school, leading your children down an evil path, other children can do it. And I taught mine, I need to know their parents. If I don't know the parents, oh no, I don't think you should. And sometimes they would come and tell me good things about the parent. Yeah, that's all well and said, but I want to talk to the parent. Because I have questions you can't ask. I know things you never thought of. So, verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted. I could have left here. Could have gave up and died and went on. Because what was happening in this world, what they're trying to do to my children, what they're trying to do to my grandchildren, my great-grands, my great-great-grand, what they're doing on the job, the way that you can't say nothing about God on the job. They're trying to give 35 jobs to one person with one small pay. Drive-by shootings. In 2024, what fool do a robbery when cameras are everywhere? Even a camera on the corner can catch you. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because in the land of the living, so much evil is going on. Children being raped, molested, women being raped, men being raped. Your home appears to not be safe because they're breaking in. The majority of people today have an alarm system on their homes. I had never heard about squatting. Squatting? What is that? And I was taught that's when somebody just moved into your house. No lease. You never met them before. They just move in and take up residence. People have bought a house and was preparing to move into their new home that they paid for, and somebody else come along and move in it first. You can call the police, but you can't get them out. With the police, what you have to do is go down and file an eviction. Isn't that crazy? This is your property. You have all the documentation. But you got to go pay money and have these crooks, these evil people, evicted out of your house. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm hearing story after story where illegal immigrants can come into the country, and they tell me they're not calling them illegal, they're just calling them immigrants. But they're illegal if you don't have the paperwork to be here. If you haven't gone through the process to become an American citizen, you are illegally here. There's no problem with those who go through the process and do legal and get the legal paperwork to be here, to work, to be a part of America and to become an American. There's no problem with that. But when you do things crooked and evil is where the problems come in. So these people support all these illegal immigrants coming in. They done kill some Americans. And they get a slap on the wrist or get turned loose. I can't believe it. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I saw churches still thriving to please God, to be the house of prayer. Unless I've seen people still believe in the word of God and obeying it. People believe in the power of prayer and still praying. People still being a great witness under God, talking of his wondrous works and making known his deeds among the people and leading others to Jesus. I would have fainted. Because it appears I see more ungodliness than godliness. You can't deal with your neighbors because early on you got to see the evil that dwells within. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The way that they take over controlling other people's children. Parents have no right, it appears. Parents have no say-so, it appears. I would have fainted. When I see the way children talk to adults, children talk to their own parents, I would have fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, yeah. And it don't just stop there. Continue. You're looking at people thinking they're corporate America, they upright citizens, they walking upright, they want to do what's right, they want the best for you, even on the job, no sir and no ma'am. That devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. Everywhere you go. When we read over in 1 John chapter 4 about the Antichrist, he let us know the Antichrist already here, he been here. We seeing more and more evil. They're not hiding it no more. It's out in the public. We're queer and we're coming for your children. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, there's so many other things. More and more people coming out about their experience of going to hell. God wish none should perish. Some people didn't even know what they was doing was wrong. Yeah. 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We have to pray and wait. We have to study his word, quote his word. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. We quote it out loud. And when we can do nothing else, we call on the name of Jesus. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. Same thing for us. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we go right back to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? 2 says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's my light and my salvation. I don't have to fear. He's the one that shines so I can see. And he's my salvation. He's my savior. When my enemies come, he's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of them. I don't have to say anything. And if I have to say something, all I have to do is wait on him, and he will give me what to say. But it all starts with focus. It all starts with perfect practice. Continue practicing these things. Because many of us would have fainted. But we got to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We believe that God was still in control. We believe that God was still on his throne. We believe that God is still for us, and without him we can do nothing. We still believe that we cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us. But I tell you, this thing is crucial out here. Pray for schools. Pray for teachers. Bind up every evil and hindering negative thing that's in school that's not Jesus. Lord, if it's not you, I bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you would rebuke the devourer in the school system for your sake. Because you come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil come but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's not what you want for your people. He don't even really want it for the evil, but they won't change. They won't turn from their wicked ways. So he have to make a stand, because he have to separate the wheat from the chaff. He have to separate it. God is good to us, and he is faithful to us. And these things we want to be unto him. We don't want to fight our own battles. And we can say something, we can cry loud and spare not, but we don't want to fight. We don't want to hate them that's coming against what's right. We want to pray for them because they lost. And they don't understand that hell is a real place. And unless they make changes, hell will become their home. And what an ugly home. What a tormenting home. What a hot, filthy, smelly home. And you know, some people are so clean on the outside. Filthy, hard, filthy, but they clean on the inside. Oh, no, child, I got to clean my house. Oh, no, I got to clean my baseball. Honey, I got to sanitize these dishes. Hard, black as night, as they say. Dirty. Muck and mud. Die and go to hell because you didn't let God clean your heart. You didn't receive him in your heart. The young man said there were cells down there like jail cells. Old people, ancient of years in there. Because don't you know some of them people said that said, free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Don't you know some of them there? Don't you know some of the soldiers there that did him wrong? They cast lots for his clothes. They gamble for his clothes. Don't you know some of them in prison, in hell? In hell's prison. He said, and when you go there, you're going down. And the more you go, the darker it gets. And after you get so far, then you see a little light. And then he said at one point, one man said he saw the light, but he saw skulls going down the river. Yeah. And then they had to cross and go to another side. And he said he wasn't even in at the pits of hell yet. And it was terrible like that. The odor was horrific. Yeah. One man said he saw the woman was there because she wouldn't change and continued to be in sin with sex, sexual sin. Probably not only fornicating, but adultery and no telling what else. Porn, no telling what. And said it was, these spirits was raping her all kind of ways you couldn't even imagine. He said he couldn't even tell it. It was so bad. Hell is real. And we got to stop fooling ourselves that it's not. This is why I'm working on these things. Everything that I think that would be a small thing, I'm working on it. Because it's yet a big thing that can cause you to go to hell. Look like lying ain't no, you know, it ain't no big thing. Because the person don't know you're lying. They don't know it's not the truth. Oh, it's a great thing. He said a lie won't tear in his sight. Unforgiveness. Look like it should be a fair thing. They did that to me. I can't love them. I'm not going to treat them right. Oh, but it's a huge thing. Because if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. Gossiping, talking about people. And in the gossip, you're lying on the person to make the story appear to be more. So that people be more enticed to be a part of the lie, a part of the gossip. You're hurting people's reputation. You're hurting people. Nobody want to hear a rumor about them, or nobody want to hear the bad things they've gone through, people discussing it in a negative way. No one want to feel that. Nobody want to hear that. And there are many more things we got to love. If we don't have love, hell is our home. But God is love. And if we got God, we should have love. Unless we don't have him. Unless we're saying we have him and we don't. And we got to be careful. We want to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Again this morning. We want to be slow to anger. Yeah. We want our lives to reflect God. We want to be about his business. We constantly want to talk about his wondrous works, make known his deeds among the people. We constantly want to seek his face because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, yeah. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. And the boy forgave his mother. That was a big deal. That was a really big deal to forgive his mom. Because by the choices they made for him, it basically somewhat destroyed his life. But had he known to pray and seek God's face, he could have had a better life. He just didn't know. And see, many don't know because many of us say we believers. We sit back. We sit back on our testimonies. We don't tell nobody. So people in his situation, no telling where he could have been and he could have heard your testimony and it would have caused him to go to God. Or we could have been out there witnessing, leading others to Jesus and he could have heard from somebody in his area. But many times we want people to come to us. We want people to come to the church, come to the preacher, come to the apostle. Now, everybody's not coming. You got to go. He gave us a great commission. We got to go out to the hedges and highways, preach and teach the gospel, and compel men to come in. Yeah, that's what we got to do. Folks all up under the bridge. How do you know I went up under there to get them? People all in the bushes. How you know, Barbara, I went in the bushes and found them? Nobody want to work. Everybody want to look like the good Christian, the smell good Christian, the dressed up Christian, that I'm in the world and I'm a part of the American dream. Nobody want to put the overalls on and the work boots and go and work unto God. Nobody want to go and talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. There are companies that give clothes away. I mean, brand new, nobody never wore. That's a calling card. There are still stores that give their old bread away. Publix and Aldi probably, Harvey's, because Winn-Dixie, it looked like it went out the door. Albertson, you know, you have to ask. Those are calling. When you got things for free that people need, that's a calling card. That's a great opportunity to talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. That's a great calling card. Yeah, because when they come to get you, can talk to them right quick. Hey, do you know Jesus for the pardoning of your sins? Yeah. Have you received Jesus? Sometimes we can do like the scriptures say, or sometimes they say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Oh, it's a way. We just don't want to do it that way. And see, now the church weak, because we talking about, oh, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We don't want to drive people away. Listen, you're not driving them away. You're saving their life, and if they want to go away, they don't want to be saved and don't want their life saved, and nothing you can do about that. But you can't be no weakling. You can't be no wimp. Can't be puny. Pray for holy boldness. Ask God for holy boldness. You was bold when you was in the world to say what you wanted to say. You would even straighten the supervisor. But when it comes to the things of God, you weak, you wimpy, you can't say nothing, you might hurt somebody's feelings, or the devil is a fool and a liar. He'll make a fool and a liar out of us. Hallelujah. I'm grateful this morning again unto Almighty God. Sometimes you hear me say some of the same things over and over again because it's important that we remember these things. And if God is speaking this again, it's for you. Because he wished none should perish. And he wants the believers to get on the right track. He wants the Christians, the saints of God, the people of God, his children. He wants us on the right track with him. Yeah. So we want to pray for these things that we're not doing. And we want to have the patience to wait on them. Wait on God. He's coming. One thing I learned over the years since 1993, I came to him, is this. When you pray for spiritual things, God will answer many times so quick. Look like to me more quick than when we pray for materialistic or natural things. When we pray for spiritual things, I believe he loved that because we want to be like his son, Jesus. We want this mind to be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. He wanted to please the Father. He obeyed the Father. And these the type minds each of us want. We don't want a mind of pleasing ourselves. But we want to please God. We want to do what he can accept. What's pleasing and acceptable unto him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you today for your word. But Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Hallelujah. Forever, O God. That word is settled in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that we can obey your word. You gave us the ability to obey your word. Strengthen us today, O God, as we go through our day, and that we would obey your word, and that, God, we would commune in fellowship with you throughout our day. And that, God, we'll remember that our lives are hid in you. You didn't give us the spirit of fear, but Father, you gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Have mercy this morning. And Father, help us to talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. And anything that we're not doing to lift you up, forgive us this morning, O God. And remind us that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. And we want to draw unto you that the atheist can be saved, the backslider can come back home, the child molester can turn from his wicked ways, and the rapists, the murderers, the robbers, the liars, the thieves, the gossipers, those that have unforgiveness, God, then be forgiven. For if they come to you, you will in no wise cast them out. And Father, if any man be in you, in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Move this morning for the sake of your people. Father, you already know the name of those that you would draw unto you. Help today. And Father, we pray for preachers everywhere. We pray for churches everywhere, houses of prayer. The Lord, your spirit would go in and clean up. Your spirit would go in and strengthen. Your spirit would go in and give them the spirit of cry loud and spare not in the name of Jesus. Father, help us to keep our mind on you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, as believers, help us to delight ourselves in you in the name of Jesus. Only to please you. Only to do what you can accept. In the name of Jesus. We know what your word said, and it's an automatic blessing. But Lord, we want to do these things because it's right to do right this morning. Help us, Lord, to not be ashamed of your word or you. In the name of Jesus. Open doors today for those that can hear me, those that are coming through the archives and the podcasts. We're open doors. March 15, 2024. Make ways today where there is no way. Those that stand in financial need today, oh God, bless them like never before. Send uncommon finances their way today. Lord, things may not add up, but we know you're the God that multiply. We know you're the God that add. Oh, do it for your glory today. And Lord, that your people will be blessed, and that your people will have what they need, because you supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for hearing us today, God. Thank you for answering us. Your words say we're two or three. And Father, we thank you that we're on one accord. We thank you this morning. And Lord, somebody's seeking a job. Somebody need better pay. Do it this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly, hallelujah, before the throne of grace. We thank you that we can make our petition known unto you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for suffering, bleeding, hanging, dying, conquering all and rising with all power. Thank you this morning, Father. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, we can't say thank you enough. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. We can search all over, won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to remind myself, hey, you on the air. You gonna blog talk. Cut it short. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're grateful unto him. We're going to one more song of the morning. And this morning, I'm going to dedicate this to each and every caller and each and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. This is dedicated to you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Here we go, y'all. Take a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
Yeah. It's a simple song. La 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 la
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold on. A change is coming. Hold on. Don't worry about a thing. No need to worry. Yeah, you heard what he said. I would have fainted unless I believed. We got to believe God. Every promise that he made, because in this hour, we don't know what's real and what's not real. And do you know there are a lot of people with paranoid? Yeah, a lot of people are paranoid. And when they see all this stuff going on, it makes it worse. Some people call it anxiety and all this stuff. Them spirits. And them spirits capture you and make you shake in your boots. You don't know which way to turn. But he said this, and I paid close attention to it. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what's keeping me going, my faith in God, that I know God is real and that I know he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what keeps me going. Because as I look out into the world and see all this craziness, it'll make you want to lock up in your house and never go out. It'll make you doubt everything. But I'm going to wait on the Lord and be of a good courage. And he's to strengthen my heart. He's going to strengthen my heart. I'm going to wait on the Lord. He said, I say wait on the Lord. And that's what I'm going to do. Praying, asking the Lord to teach me his way. Lead me in the plain path because of my enemy. And not just because of the enemy, but because I want to do it your way. I want to do it the right way, Lord. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to stand on the promises of God and wait on him. Hallelujah, because he's coming. Thank for this morning unto him. I just read an article from a lady that said she was at a Target right up the street here from me. And there was these two children there, and they was crying and holding on to each other and blaming each other for who caused the other one to lose the mom. She said she had an appointment, but the children was in distress, so she took them inside and talked to some customer service people, and they took them to the customer service desk, and she looking down the aisles in Target to see if she could find the mama with the description that the children gave her and the color clothes she had. She said in about 10 minutes or so, the mom come popping up. Not popping up hugging the children and so glad that she found them. But she popped up fussing and cussing the children out. She said, and she tried to warn them, ma'am, you're not happy you found your children? You're going to just fuss with them? So she paid her no attention. She said, so she left because she was already late for an appointment and headed on towards her appointment. But she said, we got to love one another. Nobody else would stop and see about the children, but she did. You see, who raising these children? Where did these people come from? I told somebody one day, I said, aliens, these aliens having babies. They said, well, don't say that out loud. People think you're crazy. But what human beings have no love in their heart for their children? It's so selfish. I mean selfish. Don't care what happened to the children. Just as long as I'm getting what I want. Mothers, they prefer the company of a man than the company of what they brought in this world. Fathers, know they have children over here, never go back and find out if the mother told them about the dad or not, but either way it go, I come to introduce myself. I'm your dad. I'm not rich. But you'll see, I love you. And whatever I can do, that's what dad is going to do. I have a job. I don't make a lot of money. But I'm willing to share as much of it as I can with you. Who don't have love for their children can just do these kids. And look here, it did not just start in the 2000s. I want you to know it. So a lot of times we're looking at these 1990s and 2000 parents. It started way back yonder, as they say, way back yonder. People mistreated their children. Because, see, you never know where mental health lies. You never know who has it, because they can disguise it today so well. And see, people not looking at the people. They looking at what people can do. And behind the scenes, they crazy as a bed bug, as they say. Yeah, that's what they looking at. My boy, Spankalang, different ones. The one that was killing the girls over at the college in Florida. I can't think of his name. Yeah, Ted Bundy. What they looked at is how good he looked, and he was smart, and he was articulate, and he could do this, and stone cold serial killer. Huh? Because we don't see the people. We see what they do. And you think they are as good as what they're doing? No. The craziest person in the world can do some stuff. And them spirits. Mental health is spirits. And they leap and jump. And you cover yourself, you hear me? Cover yourself in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Bind up things around you that shouldn't be. Anything that's not like Jesus that's around you, you bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell. And then ask God to rebuke that devourer for your sake. Now the enemy going to get mad. I'm going to tell you, strengthen yourself. He's going to get mad about that because it's true and it works. They tried to hack me. Well, they did to a certain degree. They couldn't get all they wanted, but they did hack me. Because that enemy was mad. Because the plans he had for you and me was destroyed that morning. I bind up everything that's not like Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I loose uncommon blessings and miracles of God and favor upon us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you like your little dedication I dedicated to everybody this morning. Hold on, a change is coming. Don't worry about a thing. It's not going to stay the same. With time, everything must change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning to you, Minister Shonda. Good to see that area code. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. Good morning, Sion. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. God bless you this morning. And Rose Brown, God bless you this morning. Good morning. You know, I had to look at that number for a minute. I'm like, 418. I had to look real good. You know I know that number. I just had to look at it for a second. So we thank God. We thank God this morning for his word. Again, today, his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And so we're so thankful today. We're moving right along this morning, and I thank God for the word. Now look, I sat here this morning. I want to share, and I've done it many, many mornings, 14 years almost worth of it. Sometimes he'll give it to me a week in advance, the day before, two nights before, a week, however he does it. But I sat here this morning and I was all excited and putting stuff here and there, and I asked the Lord for the topic. And this came to my mind, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, I did not know which way he was carrying this thing. Yeah, because he's the believer's God, and he is our Savior. And so this is the way he took it. Yeah, with the boy, with the forgiveness for his mother. I didn't get to the other testimony, but we will get to that one tomorrow morning. Yeah, and this man here, he had some sexual demons. He said it was so bad he couldn't even name them. He wouldn't even tell us what had gone on. He told us a lot of stuff, though. And see, some people don't know. They do not know that these things that they're doing are sins, and they're opening Pandora's box. I teach against porn. If you're married, make your own porn. But you shouldn't need it. If you got God, you shouldn't need porn in your life. You should be full of fire. You don't need nobody else's fire. You don't need to see what nobody else is doing because you're too busy doing what you're doing. Marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled. But when you open Pandora's box, you start watching porn. When you know anything, you've never been interested. You're a man and you've never been interested sexually in another man. Now you're watching this mess, all of a sudden you arouse. Now you think, I wonder what it would be like. What? All right, that phase passed. You just can't bring yourself to do that because you know that's not you. So now you're looking at children. You're looking at teenage girls. All of a sudden, the camera flipped, and you're looking at teenage boys. Yeah, they, well, wonder what that, that fade away. Here you come with food and all kind of objects and toys, and you want to try all this stuff. That's a spirit of perversion. That's not God, I'm telling you. Now, the next thing you know, you want to see what animals doing. Huh? And what people do when they're with animals. Are you kidding me? Yeah, because you open Pandora's box, per se. And them spirits is leaping and jumping and doing all kind of unheard of mess. Ugh. I couldn't imagine such. So we have to be careful. Yeah. I had a preacher and his wife to get mad with me for telling them some stuff that God wasn't pleased with, or sex and all, because those are spirits of perversion, but they was hot with me. Y'all don't understand. I stood my ground and I wasn't nowhere scared and I took afraid, fear for none of that. I told the Lord, thank you, and went on about my business. And let me tell you something, when God speaks to you, don't act a fool. Don't act a pure donkey, because guess what? That thing coming up for you. Next thing you know, you're sick. Ooh, Jesus. All through your life, you got some illnesses you just can't understand. Your children messed up with all kinds. Don't come against God, please. If you don't understand, say, well, Lord, I don't understand that. I thought that was all right. But teach me your way and strengthen me as you're teaching me your way. Stop coming against God when you don't know, but you think you do. And you think it's all right, but it's not. Yeah. And see, that's like the world. That's like Dr. Money. Money was liking what he was seeing the children doing, had them doing sexual positions without doing the sex. And he's sitting there enjoying the mess. And I can't say Money didn't know he was wrong because he did it when nobody was around. See, when you know it's wrong, you're going to do it when nobody's looking. When everybody looking, you're going to do something different. I don't care what they say about mental health. Them spirits know the difference. They know what they're doing. Sneaky. Oh, yes, they sneak it up. That mental health thing, they sneak it. Yeah. Paranoid can be, that's another spirit, can be sneaky too. But we got to pray. Keep us and our families covered in the blood of Jesus. And it's all right today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Listen, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. And I'm going to this next one right here for you, Brother Anthony. I'm going to dedicate this one to you this morning.
I believe in the hope, and I never
believe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, Minister Shonda, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
I'm good. God bless you. God bless everyone listening. How are you, Evangelist?
I am blessed. Can't complain.
Amen. Amen. So I just want to piggyback a little bit on what you said about the pornography. You know, sometimes I'm very transparent on the air, maybe a little bit too much, but that's okay. May help someone, but I used to watch that years ago, and I'm telling you, it's not healthy because you can be looking at one thing, and I remember for me, something else popped up, and every now and then that image will still pop in my mind because, you know, like you said, I had opened the door to something. So a while ago, I was having some discussions with some of my, one of my married friends, and they were talking about, you know, that they watch porn because as you're older, it's a little bit harder, you know. I said, I was like, I can't do that. And they was like, but it helps you out. I was like, no. I was like, the Lord delivered me from that. And if God deliver me from something, I'm not going back to it. And I said, do your own thing, but it won't help me for me. As you know, I didn't go into that image that popped up. But I was like, And I praise God because I got to see my friend a few weeks ago. And so we were talking, and she was like, she know porn is wrong. She said she know God don't want her to look at it. And so I was just thankful that now she's at the realization that that's not good for her and her husband to watch. So it is poison. You know, once that image is there, the enemy going to come back, and every now and then try to pop it in my head, you know, and I ask God, like, wash my mind clean. But it's, you know, it still will come up. But I know that I've overcome by the blood of Jesus. So it don't matter what that enemy try to bring. I know I'm delivered. And I thank God, and I'm humble about it, that he keep me where I don't even want to go back to that because it's dark. And it's gross, and it's not healthy. So I just pray for anyone that struggle with that. Take it to God because Christians do not need to be watching that because it was not, it's not of God. It's of Satan, and it's just not healthy for your soul. And that's all I wanted to say, Evangelist. And I hope you all have a blessed day, blessed weekend. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, Minister Shonda, for the testimony. Thank you so much. Yeah, because I know for myself, I've seen this craziness, and not only that, I've had people to come, and they call it counseling, and people to come, and they tell me things, and tell me things that happened after they did things, you know. And nobody's trying to stop you from enjoying your wife or your husband. But if you pray, if you're having problems in your bedroom, take it to God in prayer. I said marriage is honorable in the bed under fire. Take that to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I'm not performing like I used to. I may be a little bit older, but I still have the drive. You yet allow me to keep the drive. So, Lord, let me do what's natural that pleases you when it comes to love making to my husband or my wife. Yeah, nothing perverted. And watch what God do for you. They say that the older men take the little blue pills. You won't need no blue pill. I'm getting no other kind of pill. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the mate may be telling you, hey, do you help me? Maybe, hey, look here now, we need to slow this train down, because God can touch that body and heal it. If you eat the right things, it will help you. It will help your natural body to do what that body is supposed to do when it's time for it to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. But that perverted stuff, you don't want to be partake of that. I'm telling you, it's like you're opening up all kind of portals to other stuff. Woo! Mm-mm. And that's not what you want. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, so we thank God that he give us what we need. He'll teach us what we need. He'll send somebody to help us to do or learn about what we need. That's why he said he wouldn't have us ignorant. He don't want us not knowing what we should be knowing. The word of God is important. We have to get in the word to know what the word is saying to do and not to do. And sometimes we in the word, but we don't get to cover as much as we feel we need to. But what he does is he sends somebody. And then it'll remind you, oh, yeah, I don't do that no more. I found out that was wrong. Yeah. Because, see, the Spirit of the Lord, too, will come and remind us. Mm-hmm. Barbara, don't walk with your hand out like that. I don't care how much weight you gain, don't walk with your hand out like that. You're calling spirits. You're calling the men that's what they do. They lust after women. Don't do it. Put your hand down. Put your arm down. Yeah. Because there's some walks women do. Yeah. So it'll remind you what to do and what not. Don't say that. Don't say that. The thought just hit my mind. He'll say, don't say it. Yeah. He'll say, don't go over there. Don't go over there. Keep straight. And if you obey, you are going to be blessed. Now, if you don't obey, you're not going to be blessed. Mm-hmm. I used to think it was cute. Just get a phone number out and don't answer it when the person calls. Because they would say, well, give me your phone. Let me put my number in it. You can call me all day. I don't have to answer my phone because you rang it. And I just thought that was so cute. No, ma'am, don't do it. Don't do it. Walk up right before God. And if you carry yourself in the right way, dress the right way, that devil ain't coming. Because he look over there, she dressed like she's sanctified. Shirt button all the way up. You see no cleavage. No, she into some kind of religion. No point in me saying nothing. Sure is not. Yeah, all kind of things, spirits. Yeah, so we just put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful unto us. Yeah. Good morning to you, Sister Samoa. Yesterday, I talked with her, and she was telling me, yeah, just like Minister Shonda said, I said, now, she sure was listening in. I did not see her number in the studio, but that sister was sitting back listening. And then she told me this, when you talk on Revelation, I like that, Sister Barbara, that you know, somebody can tell you something, but if they take you the way you can see it for yourself, she said she was just flipping her Bible, you know, following me with the scripture. She said, but if you show it to them and they see it for themselves, oh, that's much better. I said, all right. But see, some mornings it be coming, the word be coming out of my mouth, and I can't even remember to tell you where to look for, but that's God speaking, and he know his word is true. And some things he speak, you already read it before. Yeah, so it's just a good day. It's just a good thing. I tried to get us a guest today, and he wrote me back and said, on your show, and I said, yes, sir. And I haven't heard back from him, so I know he's most likely putting together a message. Because he think that's what I want. But I told him we could just speak on the topic. But I think that was after the fact, you know. But he probably think I want to come and bring a morning message so he may be putting that message together. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's a good cook when he let God use him to cook. And once he get the recipe right, he gone and cook the meal, or it's a healthy, good meal. Yeah. But so I just have to wait and see if, when and if he's willing to come. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. He wished me a happy birthday and everything, and so I'm good. I'm good, and we all right and everything. I just got to see if God gonna use him to come and bring a message. Yes. So is that all right? I was waiting on it. I was waiting. It took too long, man. You was taking a long time. Good morning, bro. Anthony, God bless you. How are you? Brother Anthony, are you driving or something? Because you sound a little distance away from here.
Yes. I'm driving.
Okay. I got you.
Hello?
Uh-huh, that's better.
But yeah, I was just saying with Brother, Elder Muffet, you know, in the show, the men group that we got, you know, it was one of the deacons up there, and you know that was something that he struggled with, and he's an older, you know, an older gentleman, you know, and he was saying, you know, that he struggled with it for years, and he was, you know, a year or two just now, you know, get to the point where he was delivered from it, you know, and so that just show you how long, you know, that spirit, or you know, and once you get involved with it and start watching it, how long it can linger, you know. And in my marriage, you know, that was something that we did, you know. And I guess you could say, like, the younger generation probably would, you know, we kind of think that's the thing, you know, to watch that and, you know, have that going on, and we trying to do what they doing, you know, to a certain extent. And not knowing that, you know, we, like you said, open up doors that we don't need to open up, you know, and now maybe the one spouse would want to experience that all the time, and then the other spouse just did it to make them happy, but they ain't something that they want to do, you know, so it's all kinds of consequences. And I can say for, on my part, you know, some of the things that, you know, at the time when I was watching it, you know, that co-spied, you know, down the line that it caused issues because, you know, now, you know, you open the door to that certain thing, you know, and then the other person wants to experience with it. She might want to experience with somebody else, or she might want to add somebody to what's going on with what y'all got going on, you know. And I hate to tell you, but, you know, me, I'm not trying to get involved, you know. And I say this because I was at a younger age, maybe, you know, but then when I got older, you know, far as another man, no, that's not going to work. Now, maybe, you know, back then, or maybe a woman, but that was just the devil too, you know, putting in my mind, because at the end of the day, you know, so you can get something from both of them, you know what I'm saying? Now y'all not knowing what nobody got, and y'all having, you know, relations with these people, and, you know, I just think back to what you know, have spoke on too, Ms. Barbara, and those soul ties. So now every person that person had a relationship with, now you don't have a relationship with them. You
yes,
know, and
sir.
Not knowing the spirits that's on them, you know, that they have dealt with at the time, you know. So, you know, my eyes was open to some stuff, you know, later on, you know, but now I realize, so, you know, yeah, I'm like, I don't want no part of it, you know what I'm saying? This ain't nothing that I want to do, and, you know, it's just, I will say mind-boggling, but it ain't mind-boggling, it's just the enemy, and, you know, it's, we got to walk away and know better, you know. And the thing is to educate, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people won't speak on that. You know, it's kind of a subject that nobody don't really want to talk on, but it need to be spoken on, you know, so that the younger ones will know, you know, what they're getting involved in, you know. But we speak on a lot of other things, but we don't speak on certain things that, you know, concerning, like, pornography and stuff like that needs to be spoke on, you know, in the church, you know. I guess, you know, that have, I kind of understand to a certain extent, but if you got a group of people that's adults, you know, then they might have been saying, or young teens, you know, and so it take a show like this, or, you know, a certain group to be able to say something about it. And then now these days, you know, now they might say, well, y'all got something going on, y'all want to talk about that, you know. So, you know, it's just the way the world goes and things that need to be said, you know, now really can't talk about it to a certain extent because they want to try to sue people and all that other kind of stuff. So, you know, but that's just the enemy trying not, knowing that, you know, with that, they won't be exposed, you know. But like my grandma say, the devil is a lie. Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to get exposed, and, you know, and it needs to be exposed, you know, and people need to know, you know, because knowledge is power. You know, now you ain't going to walk into it. And then if you know and you walk into it, that's because you choose to do it, you know. You know, if you know better, do better. You know, that's what I've heard. So, you know, it's a lot with that, you know, and I'm glad that I've been delivered with it. And, you know, just like the young lady said, you know, it can come back, you know. So you gotta be in that word constantly, and you gotta be strong, you know, because he is slick. The devil is slick and cunning, and you could be looking at a regular TV show, and he'll throw something in there, and it'll just trigger something. So, you know, you gotta be cautious. You gotta be aware, you know, what you're watching, you know, as well.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I just think about, even, you know, like with my job. And I be telling the guys, or they, you know, these guys, they be in there talking, you know, and they be talking about stuff, and then they'll, you know, I'm kind of confronting them a little bit, you know, concerning certain things that they talk about, you know. And I told them, I say, you know, I don't really engage in that kind of talk like that no more, you know. That's not, you know, what my mind dwelling on or thinking about, you know. So I notice every time I get around them, you know, they kind of say little slick things, you know, concerning certain stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I ignore them. I just keep doing what I'm doing. And I notice they'll look at me and try to get me to, you know, they'll say it and try to get me to kind of join in with them. But, you know, I know better. I see the tricks in the sky, the enemy and his tricks. So I don't even, you know, get involved or listen to them. When they start talking crazy like that, I go ahead and walk on away, you know. So, but just said, wanted to say that this morning, and just, y'all have a blessed and awesome rest of the weekend and the rest of this week, which is almost over. But have a blessed rest of this, your Friday and rest of the weekend, and y'all just continue to pray for me, and I continue to pray for y'all. And God bless. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Anthony. God bless you. Yeah, a lot of things they don't want to talk about in the church because sometimes they don't want an argument, or sometimes it's that it's going to turn members away or whatever they call it. But listen, if you're going to teach the truth, I'm like Pastor Howard, you teach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I told you that couple got 38 hot. Ooh, I believe if we'd have been in the street, they probably would have tried to, box both of them. And I probably would have had to show them what was working with. They was mad about that thing. Ooh, he was the husband. He was almost cussing. And let me tell y'all something. These supposed to have been preachers. Yeah. But I told you what God said. I didn't tell you what Barbara said, because I don't know what you do in your bedroom. And if I'm honest with you, I could care less. That's your business over there. But if God said stop it, cut it out, cut it off, don't do it, it's an abomination, it's perversion, it's perverted, stop it. Because see, what people don't realize, this thing can come back on your children. Your sins can fall back on your children. You dead and gone and your child over here suffering. Because God came and warned you, but you wouldn't take heed. Yeah, all this kind of thing. So we want to be careful. And look what money did to them kids. Messed them up. Told everybody that was a good thing to do. Go ahead and turn this boy into a girl. When things wasn't working right in this child's life, somebody bring him back. Bring her back. Foolishness. So we want to be careful. See, we don't know what the parents had did. Maybe they had been into some type of perversion or something, and it registered to the children. We don't know. So we want to be careful. And I know I'm too old. I ain't having no more children. Never say never. You married? When I looked at Sarah, her and Abraham, whoop, there go Isaac. Yeah. So it's good to know. And there's some things you may never do again, but if you did it, it's best to repent. Yeah, just go and repent and go on with God. It's all right. He's a forgiving God if we mean that from our hearts. And I'm thankful unto him. And I want to share this. Boy, I'm hearing that boy testimony. The first testimony, I think, this year we played where he went to hell. The one where he saw the lady down there with unforgiveness. She couldn't forgive her husband for cheating on her. The one where we saw the lady down there and she couldn't stop gossiping and she ended up down there. Listen, all of that man said, I began to evaluate myself, take self-inventory. Hell is real. It's not a figure of speech. It's not an imagination. It's a real place. If God said it, it is so. Yeah, and he don't play no game. And when I look in the world and I see all this evil going on, I see why it enlarges itself daily. I see why God had built the place for Satan and the fallen angels. But guess what? We start letting them play a big part of our lives. So now we're doing what they do and what they tell us to do, these evil spirits. Not me, but what they tell others to do. And they end up in hell because they never cut it off. They never repent. But thank you so much, Brother Anthony, and thank you so much, Minister Shonda, because we have to cut it off when God says, hey, don't do it no more. And he show us where it's wrong. And many different spirits will try to come back. The house has been swept clean, but they try to bring it back. but the devil is a lie. Like Brother Anthony Grandmama, you can't bring it back here. I don't need it. Number one, I don't want it. It's a burden. Yeah. And this man tomorrow, I'm gonna play him on Monday. When you hear what he has to say on Monday, it may shock your shoes off. What? Yeah. And he tell it all. But he also tell how God come and saved him, spared his life, got him out of hell. Yeah. Good morning to you, area code 907. And good morning to you, Sister Vita. God bless you this morning. God bless you. And, all right, Brother Jermaine, I'm sorry. I'm just seeing your hand raised. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, hey, Sister Barbara. I'm doing very well. I know I'm at the end of the show, and I was like, I missed a good one. I have to hop back on the podcast and catch up so I can put some commentary in. But, you know, I'm doing very well this morning. I just wanted to give you an update because I know on Friday, you know, sometimes you do the testimonies. And, you know, I have to make it quick because I know we're kind of near the end, but you know, I know we have prayed for me because I was having that issue with my job and the legal situation and how they wanted me to come back. And I know they wanted to use those light duty positions to punish me. But, you know, the reason I prayed specifically is because I like to kind of show what God can do. You know, for people that think you just got to pray vaguely, like some of these false prophets, to kind of hope something hits. It's like, no, I needed a specific prayer. So I went ahead and gave my updated work status to my job, and they made like they didn't get it the first time, so I had to send it twice, once by a witness, and then the other time by email, and I just waited on them, and then I kept waiting and waiting. So, you know, tell me why they never responded to me, which actually turned out from my attorney saying that's actually the best-case scenario. You know, you did your due diligence. You gave them notice. Mm-hmm. They didn't respond. So, you know, I got my first check from the situation just 2 days ago. Mm. And it's not everything they owe me, but it was enough to know, hey, these people are at fault. They admitted they were at fault, and they finally gave me something. And like I said, I haven't been paid by them since December, about December, November, December 2022. And, you know, God in his great mercy, this is his hand is so powerful. He's provided for me that entire time in ways that I'm going to have to really do my due diligence and give a proper testimony of all the wonderful things he's done for me. Still human, you know, so sometimes I would get a little anxious, like, okay, how are you going to do this one, God? And every single month, every single day, he sustained me, and he's made it possible for me, my family, and everyone to survive. And just wanted to give that brief testimony and let people know, you know, keep on praying. Mm-hmm. Don't matter what it is. And, you know, even today's topic where it sounds like I know what it is, you know, people can try and curse you, they can say all these things, but you know, we have to go to the one who's in control of the universe, and he's the one that told us we could approach his throne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't need some confession box, and didn't need some man in a $4,000 suit saying you got to pay him for prayer. Like, no, just go to your prayer closet. He cares for you, and he's going to provide for you. That's what he said, and that's what he did.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Brother Jermaine, I'm so excited to hear that. You have no clue. I've often thought about it, and, you know, I just tell the Lord and go on. But listen, the main thing you said was I had to wait, and I had to wait. Better wait on the Lord. So you got to wait on him. He's coming. But we be so anxious to get an answer until we start doing clicking buttons and pushing things. And he said he had to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And look what happened. Y'all remember the faith of few, him coming and we praying the prayer of faith? Yeah. Behind the scenes, he may have wrote me and pray for me, Sister Barbara, I need prayer. And one thing about him, I love it. He gonna come here. Yeah, because he believed. That's all I need him to do is believe God. And he gonna come. Some jump off, here come Jermaine. And that's what he's supposed to do. I don't care where his church membership is. I don't care how many other godly people he know. He come here and believe. And we touch and agree with him because we believe in with him, and it's from a sincere heart. It's not from talk. Mm-mm. We mean what we do over here because we love good testimonies like this. Yeah. I like it when Brother Alton to sign in the morning. I be looking for it. I'm not used to 208, but now I'm used to it. Yeah. So some morning you may hear me perk up. Morning, brother Alton, because I was looking for that 208. Yeah. I try not to worry about that 954. Because she be the first one. And I tell God, thank you for her. Yeah. All that kind of carried on over here. I will look for that 904 because that's my area. That's Rose Brown area, you know. And Rita going to come on, you know. That's her aunt. They going to hang out on here. And I thank God for it. Thank God for these kind of people that believe and get results. But, Brother Anthony, your eyes haven't seen. I mean, Brother Jermaine, your eyes haven't seen and your ears haven't heard what's in store for you within the next 2 weeks. Within the next 14 days, yeah, God is going to move again on your behalf. And it's already all right. When you think on this, I want you to praise God. Yeah, don't try to figure it out because he already done worked it out. But I just need you to go off into praise. Praise make it come much quicker. Woo! In the name of Jesus. Yeah, they said something about you, but it's going to turn around right quick. Uh-huh. He's that kind of God. Yeah, and see how they didn't respond back and God worked it out. They had to do what they didn't want to do. They thought they was going to get away with something. Yeah, he's on your side in spite of. All you do is cast your cares upon him for he careth for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look here, Minister Shonda. All I need you to do is find your song that calls you to praise. I'm not going to tell you what kind of song or who wrote it, none of that. Find your song that calls you to praise God. And in your praising God, God is going to move again. And I see some clarity coming. I see some clarity coming, but I also see like a big block that stops. I see you move to the right, or to the left. I see you move to the left. That's the side. And that block is blocked to keep you from going back through that door to the right. Because if you go back to the right, that's aggravation. That's frustration. It's even a step away from God. You hear me, Minister Shonda? So just find your song that calls you to praise God. Ooh, with your whole, I mean, give him the praise, woman. Because even when this block hit, finance is going to hit for you. Yeah, you coming up financially, Minister Shonda. And that's why the block had to hit. Because it just drained you. What's to the right just drains you. But once God sent that block, I don't know if you know about a dam. But when a dam is blocked, can the water get through? Because once the water comes through, it floods everything. So you need the flooding to stop. It must stop. And only God can do. Hey, glory.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Ooh, today. Thank you, Jesus. That's hot. Thank you, Lord. Burning up everything that's not like him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Yeah, that thing gonna stop draining you. Yeah. And just washing now all away from you. You know, everything you try to, it try to wash it away. And it continued until it did get in there and get some stuff. But God going to restore that when this block hit, that no more of that can come your way. Yeah, you're going to be better off in Jesus' name. Brother Anthony, just lift your hands and tell him thank you. I know he's going to give you a date. That's all I'm going to tell you. I can't tell you no more than that. He's going to give you a date. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Now, if you won't be there, call me and tell me, and I'll come on. It's no problem. He already made a way where I see no way. All right, good morning, 907. God bless you this morning. How are you? Can you hear me, 907?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. I thank God for testifying on Fridays and testifying every day of the week that the good Lord says the same. So I miss everybody, and I really appreciate listening to the show in the morning and hearing the word and just being able to sit with the Lord and let it get in my spirit. I'm telling y'all, that enemy is slick, but God has all power. And I was talking to my mama and just explaining some things like life changes and all these other things, and the Lord is faithful. And, you know, I talk to my friends and stuff and people, and they don't understand. Like, my relationship with God, him and I, we have an understanding. He knows. Like, if I need anything in and out of season, I'm going to him. I'm not necessarily going to people, because they're not God, and they don't have all power. But if there's any answer, anything that I need, or if I need guidance, I'm going to him. And when I go to other people, I tell you one thing it does. It has a tendency to bring a spirit of confusion. Because not everybody, they may say they walk with the Lord, but not everybody walks with him. And I'm talking hand in hand every day, as often as they can. They want to spend every waking moment with him in fellowship in their heart. And I'm not talking about walking down the street talking to the Lord out loud where people think you're insane. I'm talking about just having, being able to be in a place with him in your heart, mind, and your body and soul where you have fellowship with him. Because if you lack anything, and I remember, Mama, I think it was yesterday, you brought up the scripture where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give it liberally and who upbraideth not. And when the person, when we go and ask God for things, we can't be double-minded. We can't be wavering and doubting and letting the spirit of doubt come in and creep in, because then it digs roots and it plants and it grows from there and it festers. So I just want to encourage everybody, if you need an answer, go to God. Go to God and ask him. He won't withhold it from you. You seek him out with a whole heart and say, Lord, I need guidance on this. Or, Lord, should I go to the right, to the left, like whatever it is. And I know here recently I was talking to my mom and I said, well, you know, God is moving in some things and he's doing some stuff. I don't know the way. And people ask me. I was, you know what, I'm not concerned about it at all because I trust him. And years ago I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, I was making a career change. And she was like, well, aren't you worried? What are you going to do for retirement? And I told her, I said, Jesus Christ is all retirement. I don't worry about where my next breath is coming from. My next meal, he supplies every need. So I don't think she really understood because she wasn't professing, you know, but she's a good person. She's a good heart. But that, you need more than that to go back to Jesus when he comes. So just seeking out the counsel of Almighty God. And I love it. Mama, I will tell you how I love how the Lord uses you. Because he always speaks to us, and you were telling me last night, you know, you were telling me, like, yeah, talk to the Lord, you know, ask him, you know, he talks to all of us every day, but sometimes we don't hear him, you know, we don't know it's him talking to us. And so I want to thank Brother Anthony and Brother, I think, Jermaine and Sister Samoa. I thank God for y'all calling in and giving your testimonies, because you never know who's listening and how it will encourage us. And how God can use that to bless us. And then we take that and we bless other people with it. And it's not just a one-time thing. Like, it'll carry us throughout our lifetime. So I just want to say thank you and always seek God out. Always go to him. Whatever troubles you, whatever you're happy about, sad about, pray in and out of season. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what you hear, feel, think, or see, yet trust him. So I think it was so poignant that Brother Jermaine had said that a few minutes ago, because while he was talking, I said, Lord, whatever it is, I said, God, I'm going to wait on you. And then he said, wait out of his mouth. And I was in here cheesing and just smiling. So I just, I love Jesus in the morning and I love this show. And I just want to say just thank you again, you know, to Minister Shonda, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, for just calling in and giving your testimonies. It was a blessing. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I heard you say, Sister Samoa, I was looking for the number. Well, where's she? And I thought of that now.
I just spoke. I'm sorry. I said Minister Shonda.
Yeah, not Samoa. Hallelujah. God is faithful today. And we thank him. We thank him. We can't thank him enough because he's on our side today. I promise you, in spite of you. If he was not on your side and if he was not for you, you would not be here. Take my word for it. Now, he would have been let you slept on out of here, died on out of here. Yeah. But if he be for us, he continue to keep us going and keep us closed in our right mind that we remember him, remember to pray, remember what his word says. Yeah. But we don't have to fear nothing. We don't have to fear anything. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah. I thank him today because he's our light and our salvation. Yeah. The Lord is the strength of our lives. In whom should we be afraid? Nobody. Who bigger and badder than Almighty God that have all power? I don't know nobody like that. Yeah. He's got all power. Hallelujah. Listen, let's pray out this morning and we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning. 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And I speak the blessings of Almighty God, uncommon blessings, uncommon miracles, and favor upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hoping some things turn around and everything become clear and good and finances fall for you. And you're good to go. You can make it a little bit further. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Lord, we thank you for your word today. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's a light unto our path. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And as we depart this morning, sanctify us through that truth. For your word is true, God. We thank you. We thank you. We can't tell you thank you enough for all you have done for us. Father, as we depart, bless our going out and bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives, all the needs, O God, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus this weekend and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. Again, I speak the blessings, uncommon miracle and favor upon you in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. We're going to our last song of the morning. After this song, I won't be coming back. Have a blessed weekend.
had you. You showed me your grace. Now my life's renewed and I thank you. Yes, I thank you. So I'm telling you one who listens, I'll testify about how good you were to me. When so-called friends passed me by, the fact that you would show somebody to broke down. So much, much better beyond what I see.
You know what's better.
I know you know what's better for me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna be ready.